Good morning. 2 weeks ago, we recalled Jesus' birth and rejoiced in God's choosing to put flesh on and dwell among us. Last Sunday, we recalled the story of the Magi traveling from afar to worship the Christ child, revealing that Jesus came to be the light of the world. Today, in the church year, is baptism of our Lord. Gospel reading is well known. It's read on this Sunday every year from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Our second reading that Claire read so well is from Acts, and it's not as well known because it only appears in the lectionary once every 3 years. And when it does, it seems so insignificant compared to Jesus' baptism, it's often overlooked. But the Acts 19 story is significant because it's the fourth story in Acts about people who, though following Jesus, whether they knew they were following Jesus or not, had missed out on Jesus' baptism in the Spirit. By including four such stories, one of them we covered several months ago, the story of Peter and Cornelius is another one of those. But by including four, Luke is making a point. Followers of Jesus can miss some really important memos. No group is criticized for missing the memo. They simply read it, are baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Spirit, and experience transformation. As Jaron talked so well to the children, there's always more to learn and to understand. John's gospel provides helpful background to the story of Jesus' baptism in chapter 1, 29 to 33. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descended and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 31 in that text is significant. "I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." The baptism of John the Baptist was to prepare people through repentance to be able to receive Jesus. The disciples in Acts 19 had received John's baptism, but they had not heard that there was more. They had not heard about the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is only possible through Jesus' belief in Jesus' death and resurrection. Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism adds even more to our understanding, because Matthew tells us that John the Baptist was reluctant to baptize Jesus. John said to Jesus, "Why should I baptize you? It should be the other way around." We also bring John the Baptist's question to this story. Jesus' answer is very helpful. Jesus responded to John's question, "Let it be so for now." Jesus is saying right now, I am identifying with humanity by being baptized by John the Baptist. That's the priority for now. This way, I can do what I came here to do. Let it be so for now. Matthew goes on to tell us that John the Baptist consented. That word is interesting. It doesn't sound like wholehearted support. And that's because it doesn't mean wholehearted support. That Greek word translated consented can also be translated tolerates. Why this reaction from John the Baptist? I think if we were in his sandals, we'd respond the same way. He had not been able to see the big picture at this point. He couldn't have. There was more to be understood later. So it didn't make sense to John the Baptist, but he consented to Jesus' request. More importantly, however, at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were torn open. As remember in Isaiah, the prophet pled with God to tear open the heavens and reveal himself. Now that has happened. And God's Spirit descended into Jesus is probably the most accurate translation to set Jesus apart for his calling to bring salvation to many. And then came that definitive voice from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The story is for us. The church that would be constituted by Jesus' baptism in the Spirit. In Jesus submitting to John's baptism, he claimed solidarity with us. There's always more to be understood later. That's the point, I believe, of the Acts 19 text. They were faithfully following Jesus, they thought, and yet they were unaware of the Holy Spirit. Our Anabaptist ancestors, most all of them came from the institutional church, but they began to realize there was more. Before the Anabaptist movement coalesced, individuals steeped in the traditions of the institutional church studied scripture and opened themselves to the revealing power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to see how far the institutional church had strayed from its New Testament foundations. And they went on to risk their lives, and many of them gave their lives to teach others what they were beginning to understand. Can we be Anabaptists today without the realization that there is more and that it will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit as we study the Word? Richard Rohr speaks about the true reality being unveiled to those who truly seek it. He writes, "When things are unveiled, we stop taking things for granted." That's what major events like COVID-19 pandemic do for us. They reframe reality in a radical way and offer us an invitation to greater depth and breadth. Our problems begin when we fight reality, when we push it away, or insist that the way I see reality, from my own limited perspective, is the only valid reality. Rohr invites us to say, "Come, God, and teach me your good lessons." Such a practice will lessen our resistance to change. In the next hour, we begin the process of discerning future direction as a congregation. It could result in starting a new ministry, or It could result in an intentional focus on strengthening an area we're already involved in. But I encourage us to also be open to discover a call to something we've never heard of. Is there an obvious memo Jesus sent, which we have completely missed? I doubt if any of us heard of a congregation worshiping on Zoom prior to the pandemic. I know most of us want it to end as soon as possible. But I heard that 5 years ago, a new Church of the Brethren congregation was intentionally started on Zoom because they decided that the value of worshiping and ministering as a body of Christ located all over the world was more important to them than physical proximity. I'm sure they received a lot of critique for that thinking at the time. Let me be very clear. I'm not recommending Zoom worship long-term. I simply offer that story as an example of willingness to challenge assumptions which have become sacred. Something I do recommend in discerning future direction, let's be aware of significant shifts in attitudes toward church from the younger generations. And this is totally different than what each generation thought of as seeing things differently. This is big. Younger generations are just as spiritual, but they struggle to fit into the institutional church. My generation did a little of that, but we soon just kind of bought right into what had been handed to us from our elders. I believe the younger generation's critique of the institutional church is often on target. Their questions emerge from their worldviews, which are different than those of my generation and above. And I believe some of their worldviews are more kingdom of God oriented than those of my generation and above. And that is precisely why they clash with the institutional church. And that makes them very Anabaptist. This concern is so much more than just recognizing that we need to put the younger generations in charge of things in our current system. It's about recognizing that their new perspectives are essential to help us adapt to the changes happening around us. Now, we could hire an expensive consultant to help us understand these seismic shifts. That's what corporations do because they're seeing these significant changes among the younger generations. Or, I know a pretty inexpensive way, we could just listen to the experts who are already here among us, really at no cost other than maybe our pride. Remember, the Spirit has provided all the spiritual gifts we need to thrive as Christ's body in this place. We just have to look for them in rather unusual places. Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his 3-year ministry of revealing the kingdom of God to humanity. At his baptism, Jesus knew his time was limited and that he had to be strategic. So the Gospels repeatedly tell us Jesus' strategy, and that was to teach, to heal, and to proclaim kingdom good news. By staying focused on these three priorities, he was able to effectively disciple followers were ready then to continue his ministry. I believe the most important thing Jesus' followers can do at this moment in history, when so many frightening things are taking place around us, is to follow Jesus' example and be focused on discerning and then faithfully living out our specific call as a congregation. What is Jesus, the head of Mennonite Church of Normal, calling us to become and do in the next 3 years? Amen.